Good morning. Good to see you guys. Let's turn to John. John chapter 7. Verses 37 and 38. John chapter 7, 37 and 38. John chapter 7, 37 and 38. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Let's pray together. God, thank you for this morning. I pray that you would come and speak to us, God, and we just want to meet with you this morning, and we want to feel your presence, and we want to bring our requests before you, and we come before you with thanksgiving and worship, God, in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me read that verse to us one more time. John 7, 37 and 38. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." This is Jesus' glorious promise for us Christians. Jesus is saying that, hey, if you are a believer in me, if you are a Christian, this is the kind of life that you are meant to live. A life where you have the river of living water flowing from within you, you know? And without going into too much, you know, detail about what that really means, that it sounds awesome, you know? Rivers of living water flowing out of us. And it's this life of freedom. You know, it's this life of joy and of a fullness of life. And Jesus is saying, this is how we're meant to live our lives. And this is the promise. Hey, if you are a believer in me, this is the kind of life that I'm offering to you. And then Jesus demonstrates it with his own life, right? He models it by living a life full of joy, a life full of obedience to God, a life that's full of purity and freedom, a life that is completely secure in his Father's love, and full of contentment. You know, yesterday, P. Eugene talked about being content in whatever circumstance we're in. Jesus' life was full of contentment. It was a meaningful life. It was a significant life. So, he's saying that, hey, if anyone's thirsty, come to me and drink, and anyone believes in me, rivers of living water will flow out of them. He's saying, you come to me, you can have this life. So my question for us this morning, myself included, is are we living this kind of life? You know, I've been reading a book by Dallas Willard called The Renovation of Heart, and this is how he begins the book. He says, this is Jesus' promise, but the sad thing is that many of us, even Christians, don't really believe that this kind of life is possible. You know, we just kind of think, oh, that's nice that Jesus says this, but, you know, I don't, you know, we don't really think of it as a real possibility to be living this kind of life. So I just want us to look at the passage and see what Jesus says about how to live this kind of a life. You know, so he begins by saying, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink," right? So the first point is thirsty. Jesus is saying the prerequisite to living this kind of life is that we be thirsty, because when we're thirsty, we would come to Jesus and drink, right? When we're thirsty, we would go before God. When we're thirsty, then we'll be desperate to come before the Lord and really receive from him. And this thirst, in the book of John, Pastor Sam has taught us this, right? In the book of John, whenever the word thirst is mentioned, he's not talking about physical thirst, obviously. He's talking about a spiritual thirst. And I believe there are two enemies of thirst, two things that really hinder us from becoming really thirsty. And the first is busyness, and the second is familiarity. So I just want to talk about busyness first of all. You know, we're so busy. You know, Hong Kong is such a busy place. Whenever I go out of Hong Kong, whenever I go to the States or somewhere else, I just, not even just out of Hong Kong, but if I go to the new territories, if I go to Cheung Chau Island, Lama Island, I just feel so much more peaceful. I don't know what it is, but if I go out there, I feel that my life isn't as stressful, and I don't have to always think about what I need to do next, and I don't feel the pressure so much. But something about being in the city, being in Hong Kong, as soon as you land from the ferry, as soon as you get off the airplane, you're like, oh man, you're thinking of all these things we have to, you know, you have to do. And busyness is an enemy of thirst, because when we're busy, we don't recognize that we're thirsty. You know, because our life is so filled with stuff. We're going from one event to the next, one responsibility to the next, that we don't have time to really even think about, am I thirsty? You know, to reflect and to contemplate and to think about how we're doing in life, you know. And so we must take time away and to reflect and be with God and really think about our inner life. You know, are we, how am I doing inside? And am I close to God? Am I thirsty or am I filled? All those things. We need time away to really be able to reflect on those issues. And the second one is familiarity. And, you know, many of us, especially if you have been coming to church for a long time, we have become very familiar with church and familiar with the things of God. And I don't know if you ever heard this term, but familiarity breeds contempt. Familiarity breeds contempt, meaning when we are familiar with something, we just kind of think, oh, I've been there, I've done that. And we have that kind of an attitude. And many of us, when we come to church, we even have that kind of an attitude. You know, it's like we have a form of church, going after God and those things. But maybe not many of us here. I mean, we're coming to EMP. It's already a sign that you're thirsty and that you're seeking after God. But I'm just speaking to people that are listening to this podcast later on. We've become familiar with church, and we just think, oh, I've been there, done that. So people are coming up to receive, it's ministry time at church, people are coming up to receive prayer. We think, oh, I've been there, done that, you know. It was cool. 2 years ago, I came up and I received the Holy Spirit. That was awesome. But we just think, you know, it's okay now. And there's a great verse in Proverbs 27:7. It says, 27:7, Proverbs 27:7, it says, one who is full loathes honey from the comb. So one who is full, you know, hates honey from the comb. But to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. Even what is bitter tastes sweet. And it's an attitude thing. If you come with a hungry and a thirsty attitude in your heart, a humble attitude in your heart, and you come to church, then you're not sitting there criticizing everything that's going on, critiquing everything that's going on at church. You know, like, oh, like this speaker, it's just okay, you know. I've heard that message before and, you know, been there, done that, you know. And we kind of have this attitude like, I'm so familiar with church. I'm so familiar with seeking after God. I'm so familiar with receiving ministry prayer. We don't have that thirsty attitude anymore. And that's something we got to work on, I think, especially because we're a charismatic church. You know, we go after the things of God. But then we've been doing it for a while, and I feel like a lot of our members that have been here a long time have become kind of familiar with the things that we do at church, and there isn't that hunger and that thirst and that real desperation after God anymore. And so I think busyness and familiarity is one of two of the biggest kind of enemies of thirst that keep us from really running after God. And then, so Jesus first says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. So thirst is the first kind of prerequisite for us to come. And so let's say we are thirsty. Let's say we are thirsty and we want to seek after God. What does Jesus say we need to do to have this kind of life? The first thing Jesus says is, come to me, right? Jesus says, come to me. Very simple. Come to Jesus and not to other things, you know? But how many times do we turn to other things to be satisfied in life, to be filled in life? And it's so easy for us to turn to so many other things. It's so much easier for us to turn to TV and Facebook and internet and friendships and I don't know what else is there, movies, relationships, books, novels, whatever it is. Maybe because the enemy really does not want us to turn to God, that he just gives us all these different options, the distractions that pull us away. You know, Jesus has come to me, but so many of us just don't go to Jesus. We go turn to so many other things. We turn to work. We turn to other things that make us fulfilled in life. And you've heard this famous line by C.S. Lewis, right? C.S. Lewis says, we are half-hearted creatures. I should have gotten the quote. But he says something like, we're half-hearted creatures and we are content with playing in this mud puddle right in front of our house when we've been offered a holiday at the beach. We've been offered a holiday at the beach, but we're content playing with mud right outside of our place. And that's what we do. We don't come to Jesus. We just turn to so many other things and we're just content to be there. So I think first thing, Jesus says, come to me. So we got to remember, we got to go to Jesus and not to other things. And then secondly, he says, drink. He says, anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink, right? And drink, I did some research on that word drink and just kind of what tense it is. I'll just tell you what tense it is. It won't make any sense to you. It's present imperative tense. So I studied, I looked up what that meant. I have a little Bible that tells me. So I'm not smarter than you. I just looked it up. And I have this Bible. If you had the Bible, you would know it too. Present imperative tense. It just means it's a continuous action. So a better translation would be, anyone who is thirsty, let him keep coming to me and let him keep drinking. It's not just a one-time thing. It's a continuous action. So drink. I believe this is kind of the idea of staying in his presence, you know? It's not a one-time thing like, oh, yeah, I came to God once 2 years ago, and I drank, and that was cool, but I'm done. But it's a continuous action of remaining in his presence. You know, Jesus says, remain in me, and you will bear much fruit. And it's this idea of staying in his presence and continuing to go before him to drink. You know, Jesus, or God says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And it's not just a one-time like, oh, I just drank and that was good, but it's continuously keep drinking. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And that same be filled is the same tense. It's not just a one-time be filled, but be continuously being filled with the Holy Spirit. So, how do we live this kind of life that's overflowing with the river of life? We come to Jesus, first of all, but second, we keep drinking from him. We stay in his presence, and we keep seeking after God. I remember a long time ago, Pastor Sam, I think, did a sermon on quiet times, and he said, you know, we don't have to do quiet times. You know, it's not a Christian requirement, you know, so we don't have to be like, oh, I feel so guilty if I don't do my quiet time and blah, blah, blah. It's not a guilt thing. It's not a condemnation thing. So he says, do we have to do quiet times? No, you don't have to do your quiet times to be accepted into God's presence. He doesn't love you more because you do your quiet time. He doesn't love you less because you don't do your quiet time. But he says, if you don't do your quiet time, you're just not going to be filled. You're not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not going to have this full life if you don't do your quiet time. So, you know, there it is. You know, we need to continuously seek after God and drink from Jesus. And then the third thing, Jesus says, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water flow from within them. So this last idea is of believing. You're believing Jesus and believing his word, that even this is true, you know? Yeah, that this, what Jesus is saying, this is true. And believing what Jesus says about himself, believing the Bible. But, you know, when we talk about believing, there is an evidence to believing. When you say you believe in something, there needs to be some kind of evidence to show that you believe it. You know, that you've heard this illustration before, maybe. You know, how do you show that you believe that this chair is going to hold you up? That when you sit on this chair, that this chair is going to hold you up. How do you show that you believe that this chair is strong enough to hold you up? You sit on the chair, right? You lean your weight against the chair to show that you believe. So when we say we believe in Jesus, there needs to be some kind of evidence of our belief, and I'm talking about obedience, you know? How do you know that you believe? You do, and you obey. And so in other words, what I'm saying is we need to be people that are obedient to Jesus. We need to be true disciples of Jesus Christ, true apprentices of Jesus Christ. They really take his word seriously, and they really are committed to obeying him and committed to to living this life of a disciple. If Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all, right? You've heard that. If Jesus is not Lord of everything, if Jesus is not Lord of all, then he is not Lord at all. So in every area of our lives, and this, I mean, I'm not saying this like I do this, and I'm just saying this to myself even, then we need to... Jesus is serious about being a disciple, right? When Jesus talks about believing and coming to him, he's not just saying, yeah, come to me and do whatever you want. You're going to have an eternal life. Like, this call to be a Christian is really a call to be a disciple and a true apprentice of Jesus, which means we're going to put Jesus as Lord and we're going to obey and walk in obedience. And I believe that a life of obedience will be the one that is truly fulfilling in our lives. A life of obedience is the one that's going to give this kind of life to us. You know, a life that is full of rivers of living water coming out of us. I'll just end with this verse. Psalm 45 verse 7 says, this is talking about Jesus. It's a prophetic or messianic prophecy. It's a prophecy talking about Jesus. It said, you love righteousness and you hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Jesus, you know, this, the Bible is saying that Jesus loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God has given you this oil of joy above all your companions. Above any other person, God has anointed you with the oil of joy because you loved righteousness and you hated wickedness. And how many of us secretly love wickedness but hate righteousness? We secretly think, oh, it would be nice if I could just sin all the time and do all these things that I want to do. But if we could truly have that heart transformation that happens and we love the things of God and we truly hate sin, I believe we're going to be able to walk in this kind of joy that's going to come from God and nothing else. So I've asked Mon to come and lead us in this time of worship. We're going to sing this song called Freedom Reigns, you know, and I just thought this was an appropriate song, you know, because I felt like this is Jesus' promise to us, to his children, but we're not living in this freedom. We're not living in this fullness of the river of life, and I hope that we would... first of all, that we would believe that this is possible, and then secondly, that we would walk in obedience to his word so that we can really experience this kind of life. So let's pray together. Well, let's worship together. Let's dwell in the presence of God together.
There is freedom.
Let's just take a little moment and tell Jesus that Jesus, you reign in this place. And let's just think about our own hearts and tell Jesus that Jesus, you reign in my heart. You're my Lord and you're my Savior, and you know, I'm going to be your disciple. I'm going to truly live for you, that kind of thing. So let's just spend a bit of time and just confess that to Jesus and ask him to help us so that he would really truly reign in our hearts. Go to our group prayer focus. Let's pray for our community. And the first one is just members of our body that are sick, you know, that have cancer and different things. Let's pray for God to really move and bring healing to the people that's on the list. Let's pray together. Go to the second slide. Just a praise report. We have on the illness and salvation list, we have Jamie's friend Richard, pancreatic cancer. So apparently 2 days ago, right, Richard received Jesus to be his Savior. So he is saved, and that's amazing. So let's praise God for that. And second praise report, we used to have somebody on the list under infirmities, and it was Cecilia's colleague's daughter, and apparently she's fully well, fully recovered. So praise God for that. So with that in mind, let's continue to pray for the people that's on the list, for one for salvation and healing, and the second one just for different kinds of infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing to come upon them. Let's go to our third slide. Let's pray for our community members that are still looking for a job. Let's pray for God's breakthrough in that. Let's pray for God's favor and God's guidance and leadership for our church members. Let's pray that God would really bless them with a great job very soon. Let's pray for them. Thank you. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Pastor O, who is our missionary that we support there, and New Life Church, who is the church that we're connected with there, and Pastor Tang, who is the senior pastor of New Life Church. And let's pray for Center of Peace Orphanage, and Grace Chung and Bloom. Grace is our missionary that we've sent to Cambodia, and Bloom's the organization that she works with. And while we pray for Cambodia, let's also pray for the two mission teams that's going out to Cambodia this summer. One's going to Bloom and one's going to New Life Church. One's doing a ministry with the Bloom girls, and one's going to do a worship conference at New Life Church. So let's pray for those two teams, and let's also pray for the Philippines and Bhutan as well. Lift up those countries. Let's pray that God will move in those places. Let's pray together. Pray for the SP Ministries. Let's pray for the IP team, Cascade, The Well, and Local Outreach. Let's pray for the leaders, Matt for IP team, Leanne and Rachel for Cascade, and Larry for The Well, and Pastor Sophia for Local Outreach. Let's pray for these ministries and for God's favor and blessing and anointing upon them. Let's pray for the Wednesday house churches. Let's pray for Causeway Bay, Meg Robinson, Tregunter, Taiwai, and Kennedy. Let's pray for a great time of ministry and fellowship, for real community to happen as they gather together. So let's lift up our house churches. Dear God, thank you for this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the promise of this kind of life, God, where living water flows out of us, God. I pray that we will truly live in this awesome promise, this glorious promise, God, that you give to us, this life of freedom, life of joy, life full of contentment, God, and full of the Holy Spirit. So I pray, Lord, that you will help us to live that kind of life today and for the rest of our lives. And we just give you today, God. I pray that you would bless every person here. Pray that you would go with them wherever they go, to their workplaces, give them favor. Pray that they'll sense your presence and your peace over them today.
Help us to live, to glorify you in all that we do today, God. Help us to remember you throughout the day today. And we thank you, we worship you, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.